I'm here with Peter Rosenthal. Peter Rosenthal is a lawyer based in Toronto. He's also an adjunct law professor and math professor at the University of Toronto. And he's here to talk to us today about the legal issues concerning the recent robocall scandal plaguing the Tory party. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
People know about the robocalls, what they are. The Conservative Party has been accused of placing false phone calls to constituents. Can you explain to us, you know, more in detail about what this is?
Sure. There are several aspects of it. First off, it doesn't have to be a robocall. It could be either an automated call, a robocall, or an individual calling. The problem is not with the form of the call, but the problem is with the content of it. And apparently there were robocalls and maybe even some individual calls that directed people to wrong polling stations, and that was done on purpose, targeting people who were expected to vote for particular parties. Now, such a call is definitely contrary to the Canada Elections Act. The Canada Elections Act prohibits anyone from trying to induce someone to not vote, and especially under false pretenses. So if you look at sections 281G and 491(3) of the Election Act together, that makes it an offense to willfully endeavor to prevent an elector from voting in an election. And that would seem to be done by a robocall that advised people that the polling station had been changed and gave them a false location. But then also, Section 482 of the Elections Act says that every person is guilty of an offense if by any pretense or contrivance they induce a person to refrain from voting or to refrain from voting for a particular candidate. So again, it would be by pretense inducing a person to refrain from voting if you told that person their polling station was changed falsely. And it would be by a pretense inducing a person to refrain from voting for a particular candidate if you called an elector and implied that you were representing a given candidate and said information that would be calculated to turn the elector against the candidate, and that would be violating that section too. And it seems clear that the Elections Act has been violated. Now, one issue people wonder about is, what are the penalties? Penalties are quite severe, namely violating either of those sections has a maximum penalty of 5 years in jail or $5,000 fine or both. Plus, also, the court that finds someone guilty of those offenses can order restitution to anyone who's been damaged by it, too. So it's very serious penalties that are possible. Powerful possibilities for dealing with this in the Canada Elections Act. Now, an issue in the last few days has been raised is whether or not Elections Canada has sufficient power to properly investigate the matter. And there's been some of the opposition parties in particular have been calling for more powers for Elections Canada. In my view, Elections Canada clearly has sufficient power. There's a commissioner of Elections Canada who is supposed to investigate any contraventions of the Canada Elections Act. And the Canada Elections Act provides that the commissioner may take any measures, including incurring any expenses in relation to an inquiry under the Act. So the commissioner has very broad powers, and the commissioner is presumably exercising those powers now. From what we understand, he's retained some investigators, some RCMP officers and so on, and they're investigating. So in my view, it's appropriate to wait and see what the results of that investigation are. And it shouldn't be a publicly conducted investigation, because we're talking about the possibility of criminal charges being laid here. And so it is appropriate to let them just investigate for a while and then see how it all pans out. In my view, the most important thing would be for investigators to catch the culprits, including as high up culprits as can be tagged with this, and then appropriately prosecute them. Anyone who knowingly participated in this kind of a fraudulent approach to voters, trying to dissuade them from voting, would be guilty of an offense. So it could be people who actually made calls, people who arranged the calls, people who discussed making the calls, anybody who aided and abetted anyone who did it. So any people in any party encouraged people to make these kind of calls, and that would be an offense.
And that could include the current Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, if he is found to have known about or condoned these phone calls.
That would, I would think that condoning by an official would be held to be abetting the commission of the offense and would therefore make that person a party to the offense. Of course, we don't know who knew and who authorized and who encouraged and so on, but hopefully the investigation will determine that.
Now, what about the recent accusations towards the Liberal Party about making robocalls? Can you maybe explain to us or expand on that, of maybe how they're the same or how they're different?
Yes. Now, first off, some of those calls might be illegal and some might be just nasty, depending on the following. What is an offense under the Act is to, by a pretense, induce a person to refrain from voting or to refrain from voting for a particular candidate. Now, if, for example, someone pretended to be from Party X and said, I'm calling on behalf of Party X, and made a very unpleasant phone call trying to really get the voter who received that to think Party X is terrible, and that would be, by a pretense, trying to induce a person to refrain from voting for a particular candidate, namely Party X's candidate, and that would be an offense. On the other hand, if someone just calls up and says you shouldn't vote for X because X is a terrible candidate or whatever, that wouldn't be an offense. The question of whether you identify yourself or not is, it's not necessarily an offense to not identify yourself. What would be, in my view, it would be an offense to falsely identify yourself with the purpose of making who you say you are look bad. If I say I'm from candidate X's office and we think you're an idiot if you don't vote for us, you're being ridiculous, you do some things that really annoy the person, you call on religious holidays, there have been allegations, or you do other things purposely to annoy voters and saying you're doing it from candidate X when you're not really candidate X, that would be an offense. But if you just call up and annoy voters yourself without any pretense, that would not be an offense.
The Liberals have offered to release their phone records. What do you think that this means for the Conservatives?
Well, I would think the Conservatives should make a similar offer to release their records. But on the other hand, if they don't, Elections Canada could seek a warrant to get that information. And I presume they are seeking warrants and trying to dig deeply into what would be trying to locate all documents and all records that would assist them in determining whether or not offenses have been committed.
When you talk about the government of a country that may have been, as has been suggested, falsely elected, what is this going to mean for our country and for our government?
Well, it doesn't seem that, no matter what the results of the inquiry are, it doesn't seem likely that there'd be any impact on the government in the sense of whether they were elected or not. It's conceivable that in a couple of ridings there could be a challenge to the election of somebody in a riding. If it could be established that illegal phone calls affected the vote in a riding, then that could be challenged, and it could be that the individual MP would have his or her seat vacated and there'd be a by-election. But it's not conceivable that there'll be enough such ridings for the government to fall, it doesn't seem. So there's no terrible urgency on this, in my view, and the more important thing would be for Elections Canada to do a very thorough investigation rather than to do a quick investigation. And I would hope that a thorough investigation would try to get as high as it could in finding out who's responsible for encouraging this kind of activity. And then as far as doing the investigation, the Commissioner of Canada Elections, who's the person who's responsible for investigating violations of the Act, does have very strong powers under the Act. He can take any measures, it says, that's very wide, any measures, including incurring any expenses in relation to an inquiry under the Act. And he can appoint people to help him investigate, and he has done so in this case, it appears, from the press accounts. And therefore, it's important, I think, to let the investigation take its course and see what happens before we talk about a public inquiry or anything else. A public inquiry could interfere with criminal charges. It should be done only after all criminal charges have been disposed of.
So can you tell us briefly, what is the allegation of robocalls deterring voters mean for the values that we uphold in Canada for freedom of speech and for democratic process? Whether or not people think that it always happens, what does it mean for the values that we uphold? Because this is one of the first times that we've ever seen something like this happen to such an extent.
Right. There are dirty tricks, as they say in elections, and some dirty tricks are illegal and some are just dirty tricks. There have been dirty tricks in previous elections. Whether there's been this kind of illegality, I'm not sure of. So dirty tricks might be spreading nasty but true information about a candidate, like messy details of someone's divorce or something like that. If you did that, it would be a dirty trick in my view, because it's not really relevant to the candidacy. Right. On the other hand, it wouldn't be an offense under the Canada Elections Act. The Canada Elections Act draws limits as to how dirty a trick can be and says that certain kinds of dirty tricks are not allowed, and the kind of robocalls that have been alleged about the polling stations and so on are among the kind that are not allowed and that are offenses under the Canada Elections Act. So presumably, democratic elections are the foundation of our system. I'm somewhat skeptical about many things that are legal under the Canada Elections Act, and including aspects that give the large parties big advantages and so on. And other people have raised, and I share the concerns, that proportional representation would be a much fairer way of having our votes represented in Parliament, as most Western democracies have gone to proportional representation in recent decades. So there are all sorts of concerns, but this kind of thing is, as alleged, having a machine endeavor to discourage people from voting by telling them false polling places is the kind of assault on the electoral system that we haven't seen before, as far as I know, and obviously must be seriously punished in order to discourage anything like it in the future.
To contact Peter Rosenthal, you can email him at rosent@math.toronto.edu. All right, thanks so much, Peter, for being with us today and shedding light on this very serious issue from a legal perspective.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.